Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan.
Brought to you by Active Iron
on News Talk.
Dozens of children here in Ireland who require spinal surgeries, they're going to be offered the opportunity now to get that treatment, to get those surgeries overseas. This is by the Department of Health. And Edel is with us on the line today in Wexford. Edel, I know you've shared your story, your daughter Janie's story, with us here on Lunchtime Live previously. You had travelled to the UK with your daughter. Can I just get your reaction to this news this morning?
Andrea, it couldn't come sooner. For all those people out there that are waiting for their sons or daughters to have this operation, because you're not just putting the child's life on hold, you're putting the whole family on hold. And people don't realise that. But that parent wakes up every day. Once you get a consultation to say your child needs an operation on their spine, it's not like they're going in to have their tonsils out. It's not like they've got, you know, a simple operation. It's they're going to have a 9-hour operation. And that in itself, a parent has to prepare themselves. The child isn't really aware that this operation is going to take this length of time. But what they are aware is they're going to be able to do things that they want to be able to do when they have this operation. And right now, in about 10 minutes' time, I'm going to collect my daughter and she's going horse riding. That wouldn't be possible if she didn't have her operation.
She had her operation in the UK, Del, is that right?
She did, Andrea.
Yeah. I remember you telling us about travelling all right to the UK at the time or just after that. But so she went to the UK for surgery because of the long, lengthy waiting list that we were dealing with here.
There was a waiting list. There was, but nothing like there is today. And we just got notification that she could have her operation. And then we, you know, everything just shuts down. You just take it on board and you think, right, you prepare and you don't think about where you're staying. But all that falls into place. And that's a blanket has to be put around the whole family, especially if you have young ones as well, siblings. Because everybody here in that circle, in that little situation, it affects everybody. And the most crucial thing is that those parents are cared for because they're the carers and they are the ones that are going to be caring for the person when they take her home. Because the 9-hour operation is one thing, but the aftercare. Mm. And it's important that the parents have the care and the accommodation that they need and the comforts that they need. Because if they don't have that and they're struggling to find somewhere and it's noisy and they can't sleep, you know, how are they expected to care their child?
I was reading about this morning. I know these sort of the outsourcing agreements, apparently they're still being finalised now by the Department of Health. But what we're hearing is that families will have their accommodation and their flights. That'll all be organised and paid for by the Department of Health prior to travelling. Stay with me, Adele, if you don't mind. I think we've got Gillian on the line. And Gillian, listeners will remember your story about your son, Harvey, too, who has been waiting for surgery. How did you feel when you heard this news this morning?
I'll take it with a pinch of salt. You know, there hasn't been a huge amount of information really shared. And it's the first kind of we're seeing of it today. But I don't know if Harvey would be suitable to travel, maybe to the UK, but moving, like bringing him over to the US now, like in terms of logistics, would be a nightmare.
Of his condition, Gillian?
Yeah, well, like trying to bring Harvey on, like the only time we've ever traveled with Harvey, it's been by boat, because trying to put him into an airplane seat, you know, with the level of support that he needs and seating, he wouldn't physically be able to sit up on an airplane seat. You know, like he's in a complete mold when he's in his wheelchair. Sorry. But so for him, like the idea of putting him on a 7.5-hour flight he would be
wouldn't
in complete
work,
meltdown.
Yeah. Now, I read this morning they're talking about the fact that an agreement has been brokered with Great Ormond Street Hospital in London, and then two with clinicians at the Morgan Stanley Children's Hospital that's based in New York.
Yeah, well, there was an orthopaedic consultant came over from Great Ormond Street and saw a number of families. We were one of the families he saw, but we were not offered surgery.
Okay, so there'll be... And I'm curious, Gillian, when did you hear about this? Like, because Harvey and other children have been waiting on that list, did you get a call at all this morning, or did you just hear about this through the media?
Through the media, as always. As always, it was through the media. Yeah. I know they keep talking about how they're improving communication, but they don't seem to be talking to the parents. And still, you know, like, we haven't spoken to anyone, bar the guy from that came over from Great Ormond Street. We haven't spoken to anyone from orthopaedics in a few months now. And, you know, we haven't seen anyone in orthopaedics in Temple Street, which is the hospital where he's listed for surgery, since the surgeon went on leave. So we haven't really had any update. Like, yeah, no, Harvey hasn't even had a scoliosis. Like, he hasn't had a scan now since January to even see whether or not it's progressed.
But I suppose the big question for you, and I'm sure for other parents, and I know there's others getting in touch with us here too, Gillian, is, you know, what children will qualify? Like, is it every child who's in need of spinal surgery is going to be able to travel abroad and be operated on overseas? Or will there be a certain criteria?
Well, I'd imagine there will be. And that's the problem. It's that, yet again, it's the sickest kids on the list that aren't suitable for travel. And, you know, it's all like it's great. I take it with a pinch of salt. But like, for the families that do get to travel and it gets them sorted, you know, that's brilliant. But like, for the families that can't travel, it would be great to see a stronger emphasis on insourcing, bringing specialists into the country
to do the work here,
so that the kids that aren't well enough to actually be able to travel could actually get their surgeries here. And I think even in terms of logistics, like, I know that they're saying that they'll cover flight costs and accommodation costs, but as we've seen with complications, some of these children end up staying in hospital for months. And, you know, are they going to bring the whole family across, or are we going to have, you know, the costs of the family overseas, the costs of the family living here, the loss of wages? And then not to mention, if you get DCA, domiciliary carers allowance, if you are in hospital for over a certain length of time, sure, they take your support away. I think it's 3 months.
Right. So there's all of these sort
a lot of
questions.
Things. It
okay.
sounds great, yeah. but I think there isn't currently enough information given.
Okay. At the moment they're talking all right about the families. Well, families is the word used to have their accommodation and flights organised. But I take your point around, you know, how long any one particular family might need to stay in London or in New York. Aaron is with us too, Gillian. Just let me bring in Aaron for a moment. Aaron, listeners know too about your daughter Sophia. You've shared Sophia's story with us many times here on Lunchtime Live as well. Gillian has taken the news today. Good news, but with a pinch of salt. How do you feel?
Look, I suppose, first of all, anything that helps the waiting list should be seen as a good thing. But we have had this outsourcing treatment lauded before by ministers, and programmes that were supposed to go in place that never got in place, surgeons that visited and never put, nothing ever came out of it. There were a few cases that went and had surgery in the UK and then had no follow-up care here. So I suppose the main concern is the safety for the children. You know, what happens to aftercare? Who's accountable for making sure that all these surgeries take place? I have to echo everything Gillian said. Like, there's the sickest children on the list, the ones that have been waiting the longest, are the ones that are not able to travel. But on that point, if it means that the kids come on the list and they're able to get surgery quicker, then that might free up the list. But again, that shows how the children who need care most are being left behind. And this is what tends to happen with children with complex needs. They are more complicated. They take more resources. The longer they're left, the more they progress. The more they progress, the longer recovery and all the resources that it takes. So the system's imploding. It's basically not for purpose at the moment. So, I'm not sure. We couldn't take Sophia to New York. You know, Well, she can't fly. She can't sit.
Given her condition, Jillian's
son, she can't sit on. But then there's the logistics around it. Like, we're set up at home with all the medical equipment and all the stuff that we need. You know, if we were to say that two of us had to go over, we couldn't take the other kids over. So there are logistical things that need to be addressed. You know, the task force was set up 12 months ago. Since then, the waiting lists have increased. So that pinch of salt that Jillian has, any of us that have been affected with it are going to still have it, you know.
Have you heard anything yourself directly from any of the groups?
Not at all. It's just when this is announced in the media, you know. I know the task force was working on bits and pieces, and this is what they've come up with. But there has been a serious lack of communication with the groups involved. There has been a serious lack of consultation with the families involved. The families never get any communication that is, or consultation on exactly what they think. So look, I'm not sure. We're all fairly sceptical. Anybody that's been through the system is sceptical because they've heard the 4-month target being announced. They've heard that there was going to be outsourcing before. They heard that they were going to get the children's hospital open. You know, it's death by a thousand cuts because you're just... The reality is when Sophia was waiting in 2017 for her last surgery, there was 181 children on the waiting list. Since then, there has been multiple.
Well, there's been a 42% increase since 2020 in terms of referrals onto the waiting list, compared with figures from the kind of the pre-COVID era. I should say there has been no mention actually at all of whether or not there is a criteria or who or what child will qualify or at what stage. But I suppose the details of that are still being worked out or yet to be finalised. Let me just bring in Catherine Aaron for a moment. Catherine is on the line, and Catherine, I know you've told us about Kylie Ann before as well here on the show. You're in Donegal.
I am. Yeah. How are you, Saul?
Are you kind of in the same group as Gillian and Aaron today? Are you sort of broadly welcoming the news, or how do you feel?
Yeah, well, it's very welcoming for the children that don't have underlying health issues and are unable to travel without any worries or other complications. It's definitely not suitable for the children that have spina bifida and has VP shunts and other underlying problems. I'm probably one of the lucky ones. Our daughter finally got her surgery 9 weeks ago.
Did she, Catherine?
Yeah. So
I think it was last year, towards the end of last year, we spoke on the show. Yeah.
We did.
And she got it. Great.
She got it. Yeah. So, but it's been a long wait, and it isn't straightforward either. When we were between two hospitals for the care before surgery and after surgery. So, definitely, children travelling abroad, it's not really for the children that have spina bifida anyway, in my opinion.
Did Kylie Ann get the surgery?
So Kylie Ann had her spinal surgery in Crumlin and then was transferred the next morning to Temple Street and then returned back to Crumlin then for discharge. So, like, even in Ireland, it was tough as a parent having to watch your child be transferred from one hospital to another because the care wasn't there that she needed for her VP shunt in Crumlin. She had to be transferred the next morning. And it just it's not suitable for children to be transferred abroad, that has other underlying health issues. And it definitely, if my child was still on the waiting list, I know for a fact this news today wouldn't. I'd be delighted for all the children that don't have underlying health issues, but for our own children and people that are in the same bracket as myself, know that our children can't travel abroad.
Because the sad reality, as Gillian and Aaron pointed out, is that you know, when the kids get to a certain stage or phase, with, you know, spina bifida and other underlying conditions, if they're not fit, not able to travel, it's those that, I hate to use the phrase, aren't as bad, but it's those children that really probably would benefit more from this than surgery abroad.
Yeah, definitely. And it's great news for them. And I hope that it follows all through. As they were saying there before I joined in there, there's been so many broken promises. It's hard to believe, actually, until we were wheeling our daughter into surgery. Like, we didn't actually believe we were going to get over the line, because we'd waited since 2018 for the surgery. And we just watched our daughter, like, curve just get bigger and bigger and bigger, lost lung capacity and be in pain. And, like, you know, I feel for every parent that I know still waiting in the same situation as I was, because it just takes over your life every day. You're just consumed with worry and you can't plan anything. Oh, maybe we'll get surgery this year, and you put off things that we should have been doing with the rest of our family. It affects everybody down the line. Like, even like, we were like, if we don't get this surgery, my sister's getting married at the end of the year. What if it comes before her wedding? Like, you know, it's all the unknown. Like, and to everybody in the hospitals, like, they don't care. Like, that's nothing to do with them. Like, they're not living your life. They're not walking your shoes. And, like, you know, it's just puts a big hole in a family's life just when you're on a waiting list, just waiting, just not knowing. Not being able to enjoy the normal family things that every other family is doing, like, with the rest of their children.
I remember talking to you, Catherine. It was heartbreaking listening to you. You know, when you're talking about Kylie Ann's situation and how difficult it was for the family. You've gone through this, all of this, I suppose, living in Donegal, but the surgery here in Dublin. So I know for others listening today who are maybe looking at the prospect of travelling to Great Ormond Street in London or Morgan Stanley in New York, I mean, it's a much, much bigger logistical, you know, scenario for families trying to do that. How is Kylie Ann? Before I let
Kylie Ann is actually doing really, really
well.
Is she
good? Great. Yeah.
So we're 9 weeks since surgery, and she's in great form, and we're delighted to be at the other side of it.
A huge relief, so, I've no doubt. Well, listen, lovely to chat to you again, Catherine, and thanks for getting in touch with us here on the show, and Aaron there too, Gillian, and also Adele. There's been a lot of work behind the scenes to get this far, says this texter. It's not ideal, but people are doing their best, a listener wants to point out. Another texter too, you know, and it's a valid point, like this listener says, there's no discussion about the children, like my own daughter, who were actually left too long and sadly passed away. And I'm sure for parents in that situation listening to this today, it is, I'm sure it is a difficult pill to swallow, in when it, even though it is being broadly welcomed, I'd say, by most campaigners this afternoon.
Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan. Weekdays at midday.
Brought to you by Active Iron on News Talk.